Hi, I'm Kelsey Zeiser. Welcome to What's the Story, a short podcast from Light Reading, where we take a step back from the most significant topics in telecom to tell you the latest news, how we got here, what it all means, and what to expect next. Today, I'm talking with Light Reading's Mike Dano about some updates he has on the partnership between SpaceX and T-Mobile to launch satellites that are capable of direct-to-cell service. We discuss what this means for customers, as well as how it could impact T-Mobile's competitors. Hey, Mike, welcome back to What's the Story?
Hi, Kelsey, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Oh, just okay?
Just okay, that's fine.
All right. Not bad,
but yeah, just okay. It's sunny outside, so I guess I'm better than okay. Anyway.
All right, we'll put your mailing address at the end so everyone can send you a care package.
That's what I want. Uh-huh.
Care package from
that would be your biggest fan. I accept bills under $20.
I thought you were gonna say your like utility bill to be paid or something. That's all you really want.
Yeah, I would like that. That'd be all right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of utility bills, this is another one of my terrible transitions.
No, I like it. That's right.
Yeah.
Utility bill, the wireless bill, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
fine. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So SpaceX and T-Mobile teamed up on a direct-to-cell service, which I think they initially announced in January. Tell us a little bit about it and if there's any updates.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of your bill, I think that there is a good chance now that T-Mobile customers will be able to pay for satellite coverage in their T-Mobile bill possibly by the end of this year. But it looks like probably by next year is the deal. And so, yeah, so basically about a year or two ago, T-Mobile had a big announcement with SpaceX. And in the last couple of weeks, we've gotten some pretty big updates on that big announcement because SpaceX launched its first satellites earlier this year that are able to connect, that are able to use T-Mobile spectrum and can connect directly to T-Mobile customers. And so the new thing is that those satellites have been launched. They've been testing the service and lo and behold, it works. And so actually Elon Musk tweeted out the results of some of the first tests, and so here's the details that they involved the satellites. They delivered a 60 megabyte file over the Starlink SpaceX satellites, and the data rates that they achieved were 15 megabytes a second, between 15 megabytes a second and 17 megabytes a second. So that was the test that they conducted a few weeks ago over those first few satellites that are capable of those connections. So that is a pretty, really in the whole scheme of things, that's like a pretty major step forward in the whole, you know, wireless network connections to satellites. Like, it works. Other companies have done similar tests, so this is not like a world's first by any means. Link has been doing this for a while. AST Space Mobile is doing the same thing. We've seen other companies do similar tests, but this is the first one with two big names, SpaceX and T-Mobile.
So what does this mean for customers, especially on the T-Mobile network?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the other new thing is that some of the T-Mobile executives have been talking about this recently, and I believe it's Mike Katz, one of the top T-Mobile leadership team. He was at an investor conference recently, and he talked about this, and he said they're doing a lot of testing. He said they're doing text and picture messaging tests, and they did, naturally, Elon Musk did a post to Twitter from space, from this connection. So got it right. A little
tweeting in space.
Yeah, tweeting in space. Ooh. Right. So that Mike Katz, he said, the first half of this year, what they're going to do is densify the satellite constellation, which just means that SpaceX is going to launch more of these satellites that are capable of doing this. Because they've got a bunch of they've got more than 5,000 satellites up there right now, but none of them are capable of doing this. They have to launch new satellites. But SpaceX does satellite launches, you know, weekly. And so they're every time they launch more of these satellites that are up there. And then actually, just as a side note, what I following this is, I think, fascinating because you get to learn about rocket launches. And so the new thing that SpaceX is doing is they just did the third test of their the Starship rocket. And so the Starship rocket from SpaceX is literally the world's biggest rocket. It's 5,000 tons. And it's the biggest thing that any man-made object has ever been launched into space. It's the biggest man-made object ever. So they did their third test. It successfully got into orbit and then exploded on the way down. they're trying
oh,
to...
No.
I know this is apparently very normal. This is how the SpaceX process works, is that they keep launching stuff, and every time they launch it, it gets a little bit better. And that's what happened with this Starship, is that the first two just blew up on they blew up as they were trying to launch them. But this one got into space. And so that's great. They considered that a successful launch, even though they're trying to get it back down into Earth. And on reentry, it just blew apart. But
so doesn't SpaceX, they usually use the Falcon 9 rocket Correct. For these satellites. So is this other Starship one just a whole lot bigger? And
a whole lot bigger. And that's the thing. That's the important thing, is that the satellites that SpaceX really wants to launch are big satellites to do this stuff with T-Mobile. And so they really had wanted to use Starship rockets to get these satellites into space. And so they are making progress with the Starship rocket. They're going to launch another test of it just in the next few weeks. And so once that rocket is delivering payloads into orbit, then they can start getting some of these bigger Starlink satellites into orbit as well. And some of those Generation 2 Starlink satellites are able to better connect into the to the T-Mobile network. So that T-Mobile guy said, you know, basically with the rest of this year, they're going to be densifying the constellation of satellites. And he said, we're planning by the end of this year to do a public beta test of the system. And then he said a fast follow to full commercial launch. And so I take that to mean, you know, end of this year, early next year, we could see an actual commercial service for T-Mobile customers of phones that connect to satellites. Crazy mm-hmm. stuff.
Would this possibly, I know SES satellite, they talk a lot about their medium Earth orbit, the MEO satellite constellations, and some of those use cases are for, say, like a cruise ship. Would this potentially make T-Mobile and SpaceX a competitor to that? Or is this, I mean, it seems like it's kind of a different area that they're addressing, more for T-Mobile customers that maybe, like Mike, like to climb mountaintops and want to make sure they don't hit a dead zone.
Yeah, you're right. There's lots of other companies that are launching and operating satellites. I mean, you mentioned SES, there's Intelsat, there's Iridium, Globalstar, you know, Viasat. You just go on and on with all mm-hmm. those satellite companies that are out there. But, you know, most of those companies operate, you know, a handful of satellites. And so the real new thing here is that these new satellites from SpaceX Starlink are capable of connecting to phones, and most of the satellites that are up there now cannot do that. And then the other thing is the other question is how are they connecting to phones? Because there's two basic ways to connect to a cell phone. Either you're using spectrum that's dedicated to satellites, or you're using spectrum that's dedicated to terrestrial operators like T-Mobile. And in the case of SpaceX and T-Mobile, they're using T-Mobile spectrum. They're not using spectrum that's dedicated to satellites. And so the one that Apple has been offering for a while, that service runs in spectrum that's dedicated to satellites. So that runs through Globalstar's satellites. So that's it's very different. But you know, Apple really pioneered this. To a consumer, it doesn't really matter what spectrum it is, right? But it kind of does matter to the market opportunity, because the ones from Apple, you have to buy a new Apple phone that can do this. But in the case of T-Mobile, you will not have to buy a new phone. Your existing phone, like, you know, millions of existing phones, will automatically be able to connect to these satellites. And they, in fact, in their some of their FCC filings, they said specifically that, what did they say? Let me see if I can find it here, is that they tested a variety of, oh, here it is. We tested models of Samsung Galaxy, Apple iPhone, and Google Pixel smartphones. So T-Mobile has and SpaceX have already tested a bunch of different models of phones to be able to do this. So you don't need a new phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. With the Apple phone, isn't it eventually they're going to charge you for using that satellite feature? And I'm wondering if that is kind of a boon for T-Mobile, and that it sounds like it's wrapped into their regular service for customers.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I think, that's the real interesting thing that I think is the next big area to watch in this whole thing, is like, how are companies going to make money from this? How much is it going to cost? And so early on, the T-Mobile folks said early on that they plan to just add this into their premium plans. So mm-hmm. you subscribe to their most expensive service plan, you get this function automatically. You won't pay extra for it. And you're right, like the Apple thing. So Apple has been offering it free to customers who buy their new phones that are capable of doing this. But they only said that Apple has said that they'll only offer it free for a limited time. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to begin charging for it, or that limited time was supposed to end this year. But then Apple came out, I think it was earlier this year, and said that actually, no, we're not going to charge for it. It's going to continue to be free for another year. So Apple really hasn't said whether they're going to start charging for it, and if so, how much. And so we're still left with the question of, you know, how are consumers going to pay for this? Is it going to always be free? Is it going to be an only premium service plans? Is it going to be an add-on? You know, AT&T is working with AST Space Mobile on this. They haven't said how they might start, whether they're going to charge extra for it, and if so, how much. So we really don't know, you know, we don't quite know what we might have to pay for this kind of thing. But, you know, you're right. This summer I'm headed out to a bunch of mountains, and I can tell you that I will pay for this. If somebody's
good.
Offering,
I don't want you to go missing, Mike. And I would like to have to read some like John Krakauer book later about how you disappeared into thin air. See what I did
right
there.
Exactly. When I definitely fall and definitely break my ankle, I definitely want to be able to send a message that says, come and get me. That is a service I would like to have.
Oh, man. I briefly thought about becoming a rescue helicopter pilot before I realized like just how complicated it is to fly a helicopter. Like it's not like, you know, Die Hard or something where they just jump in there and automatically know how to do it. Surprise, surprise.
I can't believe that.
If I'd gone down that route, Mike, I could have like, you know, someday saved you.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I'm going to text only you, Kelsey. I'm not going to text 911. I'm going to text you directly to come and get me.
Okay. I'll hop in my Prius and we'll hope for the best.
Thank you.
It's pretty low to the ground though, so I'm probably get stuck on the way.
I'll probably do it. I'll be fine on the mountains, but I'll probably break my ankle on a sidewalk. So
yeah, fine. Just pack plenty of snacks. So I've, you know, time to get there and rescue you.
Yeah. It'll be fine. For the plan.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, Mike, thanks so much for the update here. It'll be interesting to keep watching this. It always kind of blows my mind when they launch a service and they're like, well, we don't really know how to charge for this yet, but here you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems really to happen a lot more than you would think.
I know. And, you know, it's really interesting because some of the early services here in this area have not generated a lot of interest. We actually had a company called Bullet that made rugged phones. No one had ever heard of this company, but they made rugged phones. And they actually, last year, they came out with a phone that did satellite messaging, and they actually had some service plans with it. It was like $5 a month for like 10 messages or something. Well, that company as soon as they almost, you know, months after they launched that phone, they went bankrupt. So it didn't go well, I think is the thing. And so I think, you know, from the research I've heard from companies like Bay Street and Wave 7, there's actually not a lot of demand for the Apple phones that do satellite messaging. That's not an element of that phone that is driving sales. And so I think, you know, consumer demand for these kinds of services is unclear, and early indications, not a lot of demand. So I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing a lot of questions about service plans. Mm-hmm. How much demand is there?
I feel like it's kind of like one of those features like Find My iPhone, where, you know, if you really need it, you're happy that it's there, so you don't end up on like an episode of Dateline or something. But it's not something that you really think about when you're buying the phone, of like, oh, I definitely need this specific feature.
Yeah.
But it is nice when you are stuck on a mountaintop or who knows.
I would think so.
Like, man, so glad I got that. So I can call Kelsey and she'll come over with a helicopter. No.
My direct line to Kelsey. That's what I think of it as. And I would pay extra for it. I would love to have that service.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to talk today. And thank you to our amazing producer, Pierre Landreau, for making this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Light Reading Podcast for more interviews and insights from the team. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.